All righty, good morning. It is 8:40, and in studio with us, Detective Eric Edson from the Sheboygan Police Department. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Kelly. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Good to see you. Those of you who listen on a regular basis, you probably are aware. Eric pops in a couple times a month, usually talking about scams that are affecting the area. Got a somewhat of a different topic this morning, but still involves security issues and things along those lines. The Internet of Things, as they call it.
Some of us are old enough to remember the Jetsons, and
yes.
That was kind of one of our first previews of what the Internet of Things was to look like. And basically, the Internet of Things is a term that's used to refer to a universe of devices that you wouldn't normally associate with being connected to the internet.
Right.
And we probably all have some experience with that in our homes. We've seen it with smart locks and light bulbs and refrigerators. A lot of our TVs are connected to the internet, thermostats, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But it's much bigger than that. It also goes into manufacturing, into medical devices, some of our cars. And of course, anytime something is connected to the internet, that raises security concerns about people hacking into those devices, installing malware, farming data, our personal data out of there, things like that.
All right. So what are some steps people can take to protect themselves when it comes to this?
So a lot of times these devices that we might use in our home don't come with a password at all or have like a default password that is known to criminals. So make sure that if your device has the ability to be password protected, that you're using a good, probably like a 6-digit password to protect it. But primarily, a lot of these devices will connect through either your home's router or your smartphone.
Okay.
So it's important that if you're looking at your router, that you have good software on your router to protect anyone that's snooping around trying to connect to your router, that it's password protected. The standard for that is WPA2, which is Wi-Fi Protected Access. We have a link on our website. We put up an article about that, so there's a link if people want to read more about that. But make sure that your Wi-Fi router is secure at home, that you're not just having an open network.
Okay. Good advice.
Also on your phone, we talked about this before several times, but on your phone, make sure you're running some good reputable internet security software on your device that people can't just hack into it. Consider setting up two-factor authentication with some of these devices, like security cameras, things like that, that someone can't just go in and view your security cameras or your data on there. And then also know what data these apps are collecting, what their privacy policies are. And if you're not comfortable with that, consider not using those devices.
Right, right. Jetson's never had problems like this.
No.
I don't understand.
Well, that...
You never saw the episode where somebody was hacking into the Jetsons' home.
No, absolutely. But
kind of disappointing.
It's important that, I mean, that technology is here. It really
is. Oh, it is.
And it's important for people to understand that it's your responsibility. They offer great conveniences, but understand that if your refrigerator, who thinks that your refrigerator could be a security risk? But if your refrigerator connects to the internet to make it simple for you to order groceries or to know what's in your fridge, that just means that a hacker with the right abilities can hack into there, and then he can connect to all the other devices in your home and monitor what's going on, what data is being transferred, things like that. So, and think about in your vehicle, if you have a device, some insurance companies now will offer devices that they can monitor your driving style to affect your rates.
Yep.
If someone were to hack into that, a lot of the controls on your vehicle could be hacked into. They could disable your brakes.
Oh.
They could do all kinds of things. And that's been proven in studies. They've had what they call like white knight hackers come in, and they do that just to show the vulnerabilities to these systems. So it's a huge problem, and probably more so for corporations like Target. Several years ago, someone hacked into Target's corporate financial records through their HVAC system, through their heating and ventilation.
Jeez.
Because that was connected to the internet. So I think for corporations, hospitals, things like that, the stakes are a lot higher just because of the potential risk, but also for you and I in our homes, our personal data should be protected. And it's just a way to make sure that you're not putting your personal data out there so that it can be used in nefarious ways.
Yeah, very, very interesting stuff. And I don't know how many people are connected to this degree at this stage, but it's something that probably will become more popular, I would say, as time goes along, wouldn't you?
I think you see with Amazon Alexa devices,
right,
and Google Home, all those devices, they're pushing the convenience of that. Some people might consider storing their banking information on there for convenience, for ordering things online.
Yeah.
There's a big push for that, for technology to offer conveniences in our life. And while it does that, that comes with certain responsibilities on our part to make sure that the data and those systems are secure. And there's several simple steps that you can take to do that.
Very good. All right. You wanted to touch a little bit on, aside from this, which, you know, this is great stuff and very important, but something called the Front Plate Initiative. Eric, why don't you tell us what that's all about?
Yeah, so our department is currently in the middle of participating in this Front Plate Initiative, and basically it's an awareness campaign to educate the public that Wisconsin state law does require that you display both the front and the rear license plate on your vehicle. And we found that some people just don't understand the reason why it's important to display the front plate. So the campaign is more of an awareness campaign than an enforcement campaign. But to avoid getting stopped by the police because you aren't displaying your front plate, we ask that people do that. All vehicles, all plates are issued with two front plates. Right. Sometimes when you get your front plates, they kind of stick together, and some people actually don't realize that there's two plates there, but you need to display both plates. And people have asked, like, why? What's the importance of that? Why should it matter to me? Why is the department doing this enforcement?
Yeah.
And the reason is because it really helps law enforcement in a variety of ways, as well as the community. So for a law enforcement perspective, it helps with Amber Alerts. And the public can identify vehicles in Amber Alerts by identifying the front plate. Witnesses and victims of crimes can maybe identify a suspect leaving in a vehicle if both the front and the rear plate are displayed.
Makes sense.
It also helps us solve hit-and-run investigations. A lot of times a front plate may be left at a scene. If there's a head-on collision and there's enough damage, the front plate might be left at the scene. And it also helps us recover stolen vehicles. So while it may not seem like it's that important of a thing, it is important, and we ask the public to comply with the law and display both your front and your rear plates.
All right. Is there going to be like some sort of official campaign on this where you might be pulling people over just to remind them, hey, you need your front plate? Is that part of this, Eric? Or
yep, that started a couple weeks ago. We've got some information on our Facebook page about it if people have additional questions. Like I said, the focus of the initiative is education, not necessarily enforcement. So if you get stopped by an officer without displaying your front plate, you'll receive a notice of correction. You'll have a certain amount of time to put your front plate on and bring it into the department, show that it's displayed now, and then you won't have to pay a ticket if you were to get it.
Sure.
So like I said, we're not just writing tickets to people and expecting them, you know, to pay the ticket. It's more about education and understanding why it's important to display that front plate.
When did this kind of start that people thought they didn't need both plates? Because growing up as a kid, it was always front plate, back plate.
Right. I think some vehicles don't make it easy when you buy a new vehicle. Sometimes there's not that holder on the front of a vehicle to display a front plate. And I think some people felt that just because there wasn't an obvious spot for it, I didn't have to display it. But Wisconsin law, and not every state does require that.
I was going to say, I think some states, you are allowed not to have both plates. Yeah.
Right. But in Wisconsin, it is a state law that you display both the front and rear plates. And with very rare exception, every vehicle that gets registered that has plates comes with both a front and a back plate.
Okay. Good stuff. Eric Edson, Detective Eric Edson from the Sheboygan Police Department. Thanks for coming in as always.
You bet, Kelly. Good seeing you.
Yeah, we'll see you in a few weeks.
All right, sounds good.
All right. Stay with us. Business news coming up next here at WHBL.
Hello, trick-or-treaters. The scariest month is upon us with tricks and treats.